You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Thursday edition of the show. We will be previewing the offensive line position a week away from practices beginning at training camp now. We're going position by position here on the program, and today's position group is the offensive line, which looks to be a much improved unit, I think, across the board, really, with the holdovers hopefully playing better. And, of course, you have an anchor there at left tackle with Joe Staley, who still has some gas left in the tank. They got a first-round pick, some free agents that are involved, some undrafted free agents that are going to fight for a roster spot. So we'll break this down and look at who's who, who's here, how they played last year, how they might fit in 2018, and who's on the roster bubble during training camp along the offensive line. And at the end of the show, as things tend to be in the NFL and just in general, you get a lot of questions about people. You know, people really like to look down the road and look ahead, and I like to do that too. And people even look in a little bit at some of the players who have been franchise tagged this week around the NFL who might be free agents next year, especially one that I think is unlikely for the 49ers, but Le'Veon Bell has really been a big one. And I do have a clip here from Tony Serino, who's the host of Locked On Steelers, who broke down his situation. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and a few other players at the end of this show. A quick reminder to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. All kinds of stuff at LockedOn49ers.com. The podcasts are there. Where to subscribe is there, as well as other articles from John Chick, our newest writer, and our longtime writer now, Chris Wilson. The latest stuff is by John, assessing San Francisco's free agent additions for 2018. A great piece by John. And then breaking down the position by position on the .com website is Chris Wilson, as I do it here on the podcast. So find out the latest about the offensive line and all the positions for the Niners as we head into training camp at LockedOn49ers.com. Where to begin with offensive line? Let's go ahead and start with the stalwart, the captain, the Pro Bowler. That is Joe Staley. Have really had a resurgence last year. He's always been good, and even when he had a down season maybe as the 49ers were starting to get worse, a minor step back in 2016, but really he rebounded in 2017, and it was all mental, I think. The new regime and Kyle Shanahan really gave Joe Staley new life, and he got an extension there. So he's going to be around for two more years at least. I mean, nobody's kicking Joe Staley out the door, that's for sure. A raise of about $6.5 million through 2019, and he will turn 36 before the 2020 season begins. So that question now remains, will Joe Staley be around 2020 and beyond for the next couple of years? You got to believe he's going to be the man. He's still going to be the blindside pass protector for Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's a pretty good situation, I think, for the 49ers. And he graded out well. He had a good season last year. He was ranked second among tackles by Pro Football Focus with an 87.4 grade, good versus the pass and against the run. And you have the grizzled veteran on the left side. On the right side is first-round rookie Mike McGlinchey, who also graded out very well from Pro Football Focus at Notre Dame in his senior year of college. He was the number one offensive tackle with a 90.6 overall grade and the number one overall run blocker with a 95 grade from Pro Football Focus. That is Mike McGlinchey, and he's going to absolutely be a great fit for Kyle Shanahan's system as a run blocker, and I think there's a lot there as a pass blocker for him to improve on from his college days. He gave up, and let me clarify, it wasn't a bad pass protector or anything. He was just beat a few times a little too easily when I watched his tape, and it wasn't a situation where he was continually getting beat around the corner or with power or anything. It was mostly small things, getting his hands chopped out of the way, and he would lose a rep really quickly, but then he would correct himself. And so it wasn't like he was getting beat like a drum over and over or anything like that. So he was good. He just wasn't as good as a pass blocker and as consistent as he was as a run blocker. 16 pressures allowed in 411 pass block snaps. And he's going to be seeing a lot better pass rushers, obviously, in the NFL than he did in college. But I think there's some technique stuff that he can work on because physically he has all the traits. He's got the length. He's got strength. He's got the right attitude. He's athletic. He can move his feet. So I think it's just hand usage and some small things that he can build on. We're talking about Joe Staley maybe not being around more than 2 years after his contract ends. I got to believe Mike McGlinchey would be that guy who moves over and becomes the long-term left tackle, and he has that kind of talent and just has to clean up a few things. Really has a chance to be a stud player. The more I watch Mike McGlinchey and the more I think about the fit there, and I really like his fit for the 49ers long-term, and his mental makeup, I think, is off the charts. He's exactly the type of player you want, being someone that you have to count on the edge, blocking these freaks of nature that are coming off the edge trying to kill your quarterback in the NFL. So that's locked in. And really, four of these five offensive line positions are locked in for the 49ers as starters, most likely heading into training camp and into week one of the regular season. And man, the next guy, I bet he gets a lot of crap in the offensive line room because the only starter along the offensive line most likely for the 49ers that wasn't a first-round draft pick is going to be free agent acquisition from the New York Giants, Weston Richburg at center, who's an awesome fit and a player I earmarked early on last year at the end of the season before free agency, thinking this would be the perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. I know how Kyle Shanahan values a really good center in his offense, and then they re-upped Daniel Kilgore and thought, oh, maybe I guess they're not going to go that direction, and they still signed Weston Richburg, and then they moved Kilgore on to Miami, obviously, later in the offseason. But Weston Richburg, great fit. He's had some injury problems. Last year, he was supposedly healthy, and he thought he felt kind of burnt by the Giants. He had a concussion problem, and then he came back from that, and he thought he was healthy and ready to go, and they kept him on the shelf all season long. He had a good grade, 71.3 grade last season, and he's been very good as a pass protector. He's given up, I believe it was only four. Let me double check on that. Yeah, four sacks in his career. 2,112 pass-blocking snaps, only allowed four sacks, allowed just three total quarterback pressures on 173 snaps in pass protection in 2017. And athletic player, can get out and move, can hit people on the run, and he's going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo clean with his athleticism, and he's going to have his hands full. Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, a bunch of talented interior rushers in the NFL right now. It's the golden age for interior defensive linemen right now in the NFL. But great fit, a player who could have his best years, I think, for the 49ers, still a young guy. He's back from those concussion problems he had last year. He played in 2016 with a torn rotator cuff or something like that in his arm. So he's battled through injuries, and he's played through some of those injuries. So he's got some toughness. He's got that athleticism that Kyle Shanahan values, and he's a very good pass protector, and that's going to bode well for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, because I think the 49ers are going to drop back and throw the ball a ton. They might not be chucking it down the field all day long, but it's going to be skewed to the pass-heavy side this offense will be in 2018. Before we move on, I would like to remind everybody that this episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you will ever own. What makes Core track belts so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn at the waist and into the gut? And every day as you work, walk, eat, play, whatever you do, your waist size fluctuates. Belts tend to move around in and out. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. And the fine folks at Core did send me one of these belts, and that is all absolutely true. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double stitch with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces using solid stainless steel or high-grade zinc alloys. Core's men belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you are covered. And best of all, as always with the Locked On Podcast Network sponsors, we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's one word, Locked On, and that's Core, K-O-R-E. With a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code LOCKEDON to save 10% off your order. Now, the guard position is where it gets interesting. That's where the competition will be. I think left guard is now pretty well set up with Lakin Tomlinson, who had a solid year last year and I think got better as the year went on. And 70.7 grade from Pro Football Focus. Much better as a run blocker with a 76.2 grade versus his pass blocking, which is only 51.2 in 1,000 snaps for the 49ers last year. But he got re-upped with a three-year contract. Obviously, the team likes him. He's most likely going to be that starter at left guard. So that brings us to a couple of more first-round picks. It's crazy. 49ers are going to start four first-rounders and a second-rounder in West and Richburg along the offensive line. Jonathan Cooper, a free agent. He has bounced around already in his young career, but he was a top 10 draft pick when he came out of college and had tons of athleticism. That was his calling card, and that's why teams liked him in the draft, and that's probably why Kyle Shanahan likes him. And he had a little bit of a resurgence at 67 grade last year, so not crazy good, similar to Lakin Tomlinson, better versus the run than he was versus the pass. But Jonathan Cooper has been dealing with an injury in camp, so it's going to be between Jonathan Cooper and another former first-round pick in Joshua Garnett, who's famously now lost 25 pounds and put in the work. And I love that Joshua Garnett has put in the work. And he played in a power scheme in college. I think he was a bad fit for Chip Kelly's offense. He hasn't really played well. And then he's been injured also in the NFL. So it's going to be a massive year for Joshua Garnett's career. I mean, his career trajectory is going to fluctuate massively based on what happens this year. And really, a lot of it's going to be earned in training camp if he gets that starting nod at right guard over Jonathan Cooper or not. And then there's an idea that maybe one of those two guys, either Cooper or Garnett, is moved on or traded or even cut if they don't make the roster, because there's some young players that are going to be vying for some roster spots as well if either one of those guys doesn't earn the starting job. But Joshua Garnett lost some weight, back down to around 300 pounds now, or a little over 300 pounds, I believe. And so I love that he put in the work. I love that he battled. He's had a bad career so far. When you draft an offensive lineman, a guard in the first round, and he's done as little as Joshua Garnett has, I mean, that's a straight-up bust pick right now. That's the territory Joshua Garnett is in. But he has a massive opportunity right now to earn a job in camp and really turn that around. And he's got some talent. I mean, he had enough talent to be drafted in the first round, as did Jonathan Cooper. So that's going to be a fun battle to watch and one of the clear, like, straight-up mano-a-mano, best man wins and becomes the starter at right guard for the 49ers. So that's the outlook for most of the starters for the Niners. And there's a lot of players who are going to be vying for work that are going to be backup players. And I think let's start at offensive tackle. Gary Gilliam was brought back as a free agent this offseason, re-ups by the 49ers. Doesn't make a lot of money, so he could easily be cut. But right now he's probably going to back up that right tackle position. The player that interests me the most among the offensive line and the players who could be toward the bottom of the roster along the offensive line is Darrell Williams Jr. Now, he only got three snaps last year, but he was an undrafted free agent, and I really liked him in college. After the 49ers drafted him, I went back and looked at him, and I really liked what I saw, and I think he's got enough physical ability to be a backup left tackle for the 49ers, and that's key because he can pass block just a little bit. He's got some good length. I liked what I saw with him in the preseason. So Darrell Williams is one of the guys I'm rooting for, one of my guys, and I tabbed him early last offseason, and I think he has a chance to stick and be one of the backup tackles. But when it comes to the offensive line, there's not enough space for a bunch of guys. So it's going to be two starters, and then there's going to be a swing tackle, and then maybe you're going to have a guy who can play guard and tackle. So a lot of versatility is what's going to matter for the players who are the backup offensive linemen, because you've got to be able to play multiple positions, because a lot of times they only suit up seven on game day. And that's also one of the things that hurts a guy like Joshua Garnett or Jonathan Cooper, because if they're not playing guard, they're not playing tackle. I don't think either guys, I know Joshua Garnett has not played any snaps at center in his career or tackle. So it's hard to just carry a guy who can only play one position as a backup player in the offensive line. So these guys are going to get a lot of work, so that'll be key to see who can, like Eric Magnuson. That's one of the reasons the 49ers liked him last year. He could play center, tackle, or guard. So I guess that's a great place to drop him in there. Eric Magnuson started two games of tackle last season for San Francisco, also played both a tackle and guard in college, then, of course, worked in at center as well, especially in practice for the 49ers last year. So versatility is the thing that really helps Eric Magnuson, and the coaching staff already really likes him, you can tell. So that's big for him for earning one of those backup spots. So maybe the 49ers take nine offensive linemen, break camp with nine of them. Seven of those guys will be suited up on game days most likely, and then you might have one or two guys that they're able to sneak onto the practice squad of this group. And I think Eric Magnuson's biggest competition for his roster spot is going to be veteran offensive lineman Mike Person, who I think is a pretty cool story because he was actually drafted by the 49ers 7 years ago as a seventh-round pick, if you remember. But he's played for Kyle Shanahan with the Falcons in 2015, so obviously he liked him enough to bring him in. He has experience at guard. He started center for 4 games for the Colts last year and 14 games for the Falcons. So again, there's that guard center, and one of those two guys, Person or Magnuson, I got to believe, is going to end up being the backup center for the 49ers and also be able to work in at guard on game day. So that's going to be key. And I'm not sure if there's room for both of those players or if it's really a Person versus Magnuson competition there for one of those spots that's the main backup center who is also a backup guard on game days. So now things get very tight because that's already 10 guys that I've mentioned there. One of those guys is already going to get cut, even if those guys were all the main competition for those 9 roster spots. If the 49ers do break camp, as I predict, with around 9 offensive linemen, there's still a number of players who are going to be battling in camp. Some of these guys might be able to have a chance at the practice squad, but there's going to be some injuries, most likely. I mean, rarely is there ever a position group that goes through unscathed all the way through the season. Some players aren't even quite ready for camp yet, like Jonathan Cooper, who had, I think, some minor knee surgery in the offseason. He's supposed to be ready for camp. We'll see next week if he is ready to go, but injuries are going to be a factor. Versatility is going to be a factor for these players. So there's a window, maybe a small window, but a window for the rest of these names to earn a spot either on the 53-man roster or the practice squad. All right, well, who are the rest of these guys? Who are these guys in camp? Who are these big bodies that are going to be running around in preseason games? You're going to be sitting with your friends a week 4 of the preseason. They're going to want to turn it off. You're going to be like, no, wait, man, I want to see what Nyjae Turan is up to. A 2-year starter at guard for UCLA. Also played defensive side of the ball for the Bruins. Interesting developmental type of a player. Listed at 6'2", 305, so that's a low to the ground. I mean, that's leverage right there. Nyjae Turan. Probably a project, most likely someone who wouldn't really vie for a spot on the 53, but more like a long-term practice squad type of player. Pace Murphy, he is an offensive tackle, been around the league already. He 2 games with the Los Angeles Rams as an undrafted free agent 2 years ago in 2016. 49ers practice squad last season, so Murphy gets to stick around. 49ers liked enough for him to bring him back for another try and compete for that swing tackle job or possibly be on the practice squad once again. And then his main competition will be offensive tackle Andrew Lauderdale. He was an undrafted free agent last year and was also a member of the 49ers practice squad 2 weeks on the New Orleans Saints roster after the 2017 NFL draft, but then ended up being brought in by the 49ers. So a couple of tackles there. And I think the pecking order is definitely Darrell Williams above both Pace Murphy and Andrew Lauderdale as we head into camp, because Darrell Williams was brought up at the end of the year and got those massive 3 snaps for the 49ers down the stretch. Jamar McGloster, he's a player I don't know a lot about, undrafted free agent, 2-year starter at right tackle at Syracuse, listed at 6'6", 330 pounds, so a big body guy. I don't know if someone that large is going to be able to move around and play guard as well, but I think any of these players that are offensive tackles are going to be asked to play a little bit of guard. Again, that versatility is going to be key, whether you're helping out on the practice squad and helping as a scout offensive lineman, or they want to bring you up to the big squad. But Jamar McGloster is a big-bodied guy to look out for there. I already mentioned Nyjae Turan. A couple of more names here. And if you go to LockedOn49ers.com, you can find Chris Wilson's article that talks more about some of these players. Center Coleman Shelton, a University of Washington product. He's going to compete for that backup center spot. He could get some guard reps, obviously. I think most players who can play center can move out to guard a lot easier than someone who can move in. Call the protections. Handle the ball. You got to handle the ball. It's a huge part of it. You got to snap it. You got to be able to snap the shotgun. So a lot of pressure on a center versus someone who has never done it before versus someone who's, you know, done everything that involves being an interior offensive lineman, but moving out and not having to worry about making the calls all the time or, you know, handling the football. Much easier transition. At least on paper, it should be a lot easier. But Coleman Shelton from the University of Washington, undrafted free agent, and then another undrafted free agent from South Carolina. That is a center, Allen Knott. He has started 42 games, so a lot of playing time, a lot of experience for the University of South Carolina. Those are the names to know. The big uglies up front. There's going to be a mad dash for the last few roster spots, but some pretty obvious keepers there at the top. Does a guy like Joshua Garnett get the axe if he doesn't earn a starting job? Or are some of those last names I mentioned, those guys all just competing for an opportunity on the practice squad? All questions that will be answered soon enough. So real quick before we go, I want to talk about a few players that are going to be playing under the franchise tag that are in contract years now and will most likely hit the free agent market in 2019. Some of these names could possibly interest the 49ers, as mentioned with Chris Biederman on Tuesday's episode. Ziggy Ansah of the Detroit Lions, who was rumored to be involved, or the 49ers were rumored to be interested in last offseason before he got the tag, and DeMarcus Lawrence, pass rusher, defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, who could also be a very good fit at Leo for the 49ers. Both of those players will hit the free agent market next year after playing under the franchise tag in 2018. Aaron Donald contract still not completely sorted out yet. I would be very surprised if he was able to ever hit the market. I think he's going to get a big money deal by the Rams, and if they don't, they're signing guys like Brandon Cooks instead and in favor of Aaron Donald. That doesn't make a lot of sense. I can't see that happening at all. Odell Beckham, another huge name potentially available in 2019. And another big name is Le'Veon Bell, someone that a lot of the 49ers fans really wanted to see in scarlet and gold this season. But he got the tag, and the 49ers spent a much smaller chunk of change on Jerick McKinnon to be their lead back. But I'm going to turn it over real quick to Locked On Steelers host Tony Serino, who has the details on the Le'Veon Bell situation, then give you my thoughts.
And the deadline to reach an extension with players under the franchise tag came and went on Monday afternoon, and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell were unable to get a long-term deal done, and that likely means now that Le'Veon Bell will be playing 2018 as his last year as a Pittsburgh Steeler. It is a sad day in Pittsburgh. It likely means the end of the Killer Bee era, the end of the Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger era in Pittsburgh. So much hype. So much excitement about that offense. And to this point, they only have two playoff wins to their names and really a very disappointing loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars a season ago. If this team doesn't win a Super Bowl in 2018, it will go down as quite the failure of offensive talent, or quite the failure to capitalize on such offensive talent. The Super Bowl window in Pittsburgh certainly closing a little bit now that Le'Veon Bell is going to be leaving after this season. And you have to wonder if that's going to be a burden on this team, if the burden of knowing that Le'Veon Bell will be leaving weighs on this team at all in 2018 as they try to make another push towards a Lombardi Trophy. If you are a fan of another team and you are hoping to get Le'Veon Bell during the 2019 offseason, well, you be ready to pay a hefty price tag for Le'Veon Bell. It was reported that the last contract offer to Le'Veon Bell was 5 years, $70 million, with $33 million of that in guarantee. That was $14 million per season, and Le'Veon Bell turned that contract down. He will likely be looking for in the range of $15, $16, maybe even $17 million a season. Again, he wants to reset the running back market back to where it was when Adrian Peterson got his big deal back in 2011, and he has said before that he wants to be paid not just as the best running back, but as a great wide receiver as well. So, again, if your team is looking for a running back and has that kind of cap space, he will be available in March of 2019. If you want to hear more about this Le'Veon Bell situation, head over to LockedOnSteelers.com. You can find the podcast there. Give it a listen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that, Tony. I always love hearing from our friends around the Locked On Podcast Network. If you know anybody who's a Steelers fan, you got to let them know that they are well represented on the network. So, yeah, about that, Le'Veon Bell resetting the running back market, wants to be paid like a wide receiver. I want zero part of that for the 49ers. That makes no fiscal sense. And then you look at fit. And look, Le'Veon Bell is an awesome player. He might have been running the ground young or early in his career with so many carries and so many touches, but he's a talented interior runner. He's got some breakaway speed. He's a really good receiver. But those things, especially that speed, that kind of stuff declines quickly when you have as many touches and as many carries as Le'Veon Bell has in his career, which is one of the reasons that position has been devalued. But when it comes to spending the money, yeah, doesn't make a lot of sense. And then it's scheme fit. The Pittsburgh Steelers run among the fewest, if not the fewest, outside zone plays in the NFL. They're very much a power-based scheme. And so even when you look at fit, I don't know if it's the right fit for the 49ers either, even if they're willing to spend all that money on Le'Veon Bell. So great player. Godspeed to him. I wish him the best. I hope he stays healthy this year. I hope he earns a mega contract. But I would not expect the 49ers to be that team that gives him that contract in 2019. Now, the 49ers, that doesn't mean they couldn't move on from Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon does have that front-loaded contract. It could work out to be the way the contract is set up, is that it could be sort of a one-year deal. So Jerick McKinnon is still, it's a little bit of a trial basis. If the 49ers don't believe that Jerick McKinnon is good enough to be their lead back, they could potentially move on from him in 2019. It's not the most likely scenario, but it is possible. So look, you never say never. I would put it at 0.05% that Le'Veon Bell ends up playing for the 49ers next season. It's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense on really any level to me. All right, so enough of that stuff. We are going to get out of here. I'll be back next week. We'll be looking at the defensive side of the ball, and camp also gets rolling next week. Rookies and veterans report on Wednesday, and then practices begin on Thursday. NFL football is almost here. Talk to you guys Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.